The same good God who gave us the gospel also gave us the law, and he loves his law as much as he loves his gospel. In fact, neither can be fully understood or appreciated without seeing the relationship between the two. Recovering the doctrine of the law and gospel is essential to living well in the world that God has made. Join us for the National Founders Conference, January 21st through the 23rd of 2027, as we look at the scriptures to study not only the great gift of the gospel to us, but the usefulness and goodness of God's law that caused the psalmist to say, "Oh, how I love your law." You can find out more information and register for the conference at founders.org/conference. Use code FOUNDERS at checkout to save 10% on your registration.
Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks here today with Becky McNeely and Kate Hutchcraft. How are you guys?
Good.
How was your day? Did you guys have a good day?
Yeah.
We're recording in the evening, so we don't usually do the evening.
We don't.
This is different for us.
It was good. We spent some time outside, got out our water slide yesterday, so we're going to keep that out as long as we can. And our backyard has no sun, as I was saying earlier, so it's either
no shade.
You have a lot of shade at all. So it's, and I have a 4-year-old and a 9-month-old. So it's one of those things. It's like you're either in water or you're going to die. So, and we have to be outside. So water it is. Yeah. So we just did that and we read a lot of books today.
Summer in Southern Illinois is finicky and it's actually been very mild, but I feel like this week hit like, okay, Southern Illinois summer. Mm-hmm. This is our classic.
Yes.
We have extreme heat warnings. And it's been, today was 90 something, I don't know, with 1,000,000% humidity. So it's very hot. But I was outside this afternoon at like 2:30 and we set up a sprinkler and played outside, ate popsicles. And I was like, it actually feels fine to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do think I am a little bit immune to the Southern Illinois heat at the moment, at least. It can totally change. I didn't feel that way during pregnancies for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it feels fine to me.
If you're in the shade or in water, I feel like it's not bad.
No.
I mean, I was sweating. I was hot. But it just felt like what it always feels like. So
yes.
I'm saying, whatever. Jared just got home yesterday afternoon from their big trip. Jared and Ransom went to Colorado on an amazing trip to a place called Noah's Ark with some friends that come to the Shepherd's Creek Intensive every year. And they had an amazing time. But they did a hike on it's a 12-mile hike on, I think it was a 14,000-foot mountain.
Oh,
so they did this on Sunday. Did that. It was amazing. They had such a good time. And then they got done at like, I don't know, I think it was like 6:30 in the evening. And then they just packed up their things and drove home for 15 hours.
Oh, wow.
My goodness. It was like, men are so weird. Like, there's no way that I would do that. And they both have a cold right now. And I was like, the pity party that I would be throwing myself after walking that far. To imagine then getting in the car and driving all night long and, you know, in part of the next day. I'm just like, men are awesome. And I can't, there's nothing in me that I could droll up to find that kind of endurance, but they had a great time. So that was cool. But I'm very happy that they're home. It's just wonderful when the dad comes home when they've been gone. And I'm like, missed him.
Yes.
Brandon had surgery on Friday. It was minor, not a big deal, but he's supposed to be on bed rest for 2 weeks, which he's not, but he's being very cooperative. However, I've been helping him with his bread route this week. And because he's not allowed to lift over 15 pounds, which he has a manual labor job. So, of course, he's going to be having to lift more than 15 pounds.
And one that he doesn't get time off. You can't really have time off.
No, no time
that
off.
That he has.
Or, you know, Southern Illinois doesn't have bread or cookies or
anything
that they need.
Goldfish. Or goldfish.
The people need their goldfish.
Especially for July 4th.
I was just saying,
we're recording right before.
Yeah. It's July 4th weekend coming up, and he is the bun guy.
Yeah.
Like, if you're having hot dogs or hamburgers,
then you
have to have those. Anyway, so the kids and I actually ran the route with him yesterday, and I did all of his lifting and stuff, and he was just pointing, like, this goes here, you know, helping him load his trailer. And I was thinking last night, I was like, I am dead tired. And I came home and took a nap. And he came home sat down in the recliner and then worked his second job from his computer for however many hours, you know. And I'm going, how do you do this? And I'm just like, men are built different.
Yeah.
They are built different. He is built for this. Not that it's not hard, but he is built for this and I am not.
Yeah.
Built for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but yeah, it's
it makes you want to chant like men.
Yes.
Men. It's amazing. And it makes you so thankful. But yeah.
I know I asked him, I was like, how do you do this every day, babe?
How do you do this every day?
He's like, what do you mean?
It's like you just do it.
And it's not a big deal.
I'm like, yeah.
This is a big deal for me.
Yeah.
I came home and needed a nap.
Yeah.
And you're opening your computer to get your second shift going.
Yeah.
Like how
Yeah.
And you just had surgery. How do you do this?
Also of the Instagrams where they like saran wrap a watermelon to their husband's belly to experience what it feels like to be pregnant and they like can't handle it, you know?
Yeah.
It God really did ingrain in our bodies, minds, spirits, what we need to be able to do what he's called us to. And that's really cool to see that played out. And then to get a little taste.
To get a chance.
And you're like, I can't
do it.
We'll die.
I can't do Well, it's funny too, whenever I've had surgeries or have been down for different things and Brandon's trying to keep up with the house.
Yeah.
He's a very clean guy, but he's like, how do you do this? I don't know. How do you even keep a counter clean with children in the house? You know, I'm like, well, you just do like there's different methods and things like that, you know? And he's like, my brain does not work that way. That is not how I'm wired. And he's not wired to do that. And I am not wired to be a bread route delivery girl.
Yeah.
That is not my job.
I'm not a Pepperidge Farms girl.
No.
Have you ever seen the reel where it's like, feminists or say something stupid about men and then it like goes into a montage of all the different incredible jobs that men are doing where they're like on the top of skyscrapers building the iron stuff. I don't know what that's called. All the rebar and the things.
The scaffolding
is and all the stuff. And then it's just showing all these like crazy things that men are doing. And it just, I love it. I love seeing those because it's like, yes, absolutely. God is built glory into the roles of men and women. But that's actually not what we're here to talk about at all.
Oh, we could.
We could talk about that for a while. We're actually here to talk about gossip today. That is the topic that we're going to be covering. And I feel like it seems so cliche to talk about gossip on a female podcast, you know, but there's a reason why it seems like that. And it is because it is a sin common to women. And it's the same reason that men get railed on for lust and women get railed on for gossip. It's because this is a common problem with women. What were you going to say?
Oh, I just had a funny thought on the way over here. I was like, because we had talked about drinking tea, having a little spot of tea while we're talking about gossip. I was like, oh, we're going to talk about how not to spill the tea.
How not to spill while drinking tea. This is going to be funny. So
that is funny. How punny you are as we're drinking our tea and talking about keeping your tea in your
to yourself
in your cup.
So gossip,
that should be the title.
Keep your tea in your cup.
Again, we just said that so harmoniously. So gossip, I think it should first be talked about that this is a deeper issue. This isn't like a small sin issue, like you just accidentally overshared something. But a lot like the episode we talked about last week with a critical heart being a deeper issue, gossip also is a deeper issue. Luke 6:45 says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Gossip happens because the heart is craving something that is not godly. You want to feel superior to others, or you want to feel like you're doing a better job at parenting. So you're going to talk about how naughty this other person's child was, or you want to feel like your family is doing better. So you're going to talk about how their family is not doing well or whatever. Fill in the blank. It can be a variety of different things, but there is something else going on that is making this happen in your life.
Yeah. As I was thinking about it, I thought, okay, what are the roots of gossip? Where does this start from? And obviously the first one is pride. Right.
I said the same thing.
Starts with pride.
Pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall.
Mm-hmm. So pride and just that idea. Sometimes you see things or you hear things and you're like, oh, I would never do it that way. OK, well, that's not the life that you're given to live. So that's not your fish to fry. But pride comes in and obviously gossip can stem from pride. It can also stem. I've seen it stem. Or myself struggle with it sometimes from a low self-esteem of like, well, if I feel bad about this in my area of life, then I'm going to, kind of distract from it, almost like deflect, where you're like, well, if I put somebody else down, then that
it makes
me feel better, And I've seen that happen in circles of women where
instead of paying attention to the log in their own eye, they're going to pick at the speck in somebody else's eye. And really that's coming from either pride of not wanting to acknowledge your own sin or from low self-esteem of I'm struggling here, but I don't want people to see that. So I'm going to direct attention over here. And sometimes gossip can stem from discontentment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen that in circles too, where it's you are discontent with a lot that you have been given. So you're going to look at somebody else who has something that appears better or the grass looks greener or their life looks easier or something like that. So you're going to slander them or say something hurtful or, you know, spread rumors or anything like that, grumbling about others or even sometimes just having that woe is me kind of attitude where things aren't going your way. So it's just I'm going to bemoan that and then find all of the negative things that I can to just really swim around in for a while, you know, and that kind, those kinds of attitudes of the heart very, very quickly just lead straight into gossip.
It can also be, like we talked about with the critical attitude, a thing that becomes entertainment or habit whenever you're around a certain group of friends. It's like, this is what we do when we're together. We're either critical of people or we're gossiping about people. And Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a whisperer like delicious morsels. So this becomes this addictive thing that brings you that dopamine hit almost of like a like on Facebook or whatever. You feel good whenever you're sharing this and other people are responding positively or seeming interested in what you're saying. They're leaning their ear in and you're like, oh, they're approving, they're interested in me. And it's again, this addictive thing. And then you also feel the same way. You're like wanting to hear the tea too that somebody else is spilling. So it becomes a really bad habit that has to be crushed really boldly. If you're in a friend group like that, you have to be the one, we've talked about this before, you have to be the one that's willing to be awkward and that's willing to be bold and be like, this is sinful and we need to stop. So,
yeah, I think it's sometimes it's really easy to pass off. And I think, I don't know, I think I see it more in our culture now, but I guess it's always been prevalent. But gossip has become entertainment, even down to the entertainment we consume as far as TV. I've heard a lot of Christian women talking about shows where you're, and there was a while where I watched a show and I was like, oh, it's entertaining, you know? And then I realized that it was starting to take over conversations where I was like wanting to talk about other people who'd seen the show but it was like a reality kind of show situation. But still, I thought, this isn't honoring to the Lord. The kinds of conversations that we're having about these other people, this isn't honoring, this is gossip. And so if you're soaking in the kinds of entertainment that are based on gossip, it then almost like kind of becomes like a frog in the pot kind of thing where you're like, oh, well, if I can talk about people I don't know, like it's no big deal, then maybe I can talk about people I do know, like it's no big deal. And you kind of turn up the heat a little bit there. But sometimes because gossip is not you don't see the outward effects all the time. You know, you don't see a marriage crumble because of gossip, whereas you will with adultery or something like that. So sometimes I think it can be downplayed as not that big of a deal. And we don't think about what a big deal gossip actually is. And we don't think about all of the damage and the danger that it can do. And I got interested. I was like, I wonder how many Bible verses there are on the tongue. And speak. It's over 100.
Wow.
And there has to be probably, and that was just like a real quick Google search today of like, I wonder how many there are. Yeah. So I didn't like, you know, go through my Bible and count, but over 100. And so if it is something that you're struggling with, one, the Bible speaks to it so heavily. You have such a reservoir to pull from of scripture to fight that. You can take that scripture, memorize it, commit it to memory. And then when you're tempted to do it, pull that back up and use that as your sword. But one thing I thought was interesting as I was looking up scriptures that specifically talk about gossip, I came across gossip in Romans 1:28-32. It's a longer one, but it puts gossip right up there with some of these other things or some of these other sins that people would look at and be like, well, yeah, that's awful. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. So first we see gossip is going to be underneath this umbrella of a debased mind. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness. Why can't I say that? Thank you. Malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So gossip is not a light. It's not a light, fun thing to have in a conversation. It's not harmless. It not only harms your own heart and your own walk with the Lord, but can do some incredible damage to people around you as well.
Yeah. And along those same lines, Proverbs 6 tells us it's one of the things that God hates. Mm-hmm. There's like this list of seven things that God hates. And the one who sows discord among brothers is one of them. And that's exactly what gossip does. It sows discord. It creates a community where you're breeding like distrust. Mm-hmm. Of each other, because it's like, well, if they're talking bad about this person, then they're probably at some point also talking bad about me. So you keep people at arm's length instead of creating a family type atmosphere. You're creating just a harmful one where people are harming each other behind each other's back. And it's like, oh, well, not we're not talking about each other. Yeah, but eventually you will. Mm-hmm. If you're comfortable gossiping about people, then you will eventually gossip about your brother and sister. If that sin is okay with you in your heart, you'll eventually talk about people who God has placed in your life for a very specific purpose to be your Christian brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And you'll eventually be sowing discord in a community that is supposed to be like family, like complete right. unity.
And when you are hurt by gossip, mm-hmm. I know for me, Brand and I have gone through seasons where we've been slandered, just slandered by people very close to us. And it was incredibly hurtful. And for both of us, it was like instant walls up. Like, we no longer trust anyone around us. And that's something that the Lord has really had to work on both of us with, because I used to be very extroverted. Mm-hmm. And then over time, it was, no, those walls just went up. And the Lord's now kind of recalibrating me a little bit and tearing those down and saying, no, you can trust people mm-hmm. and you can trust me and all of those things. But when you walk through being gossiped about or slandered about, it is hurtful,
yes.
incredibly mm-hmm. hurtful. And those walls do go up. And the Lord created us to live in community. He didn't create us to live on our own. And both of you know how well I do when I put my walls up and I try to live on my own. I don't do well.
Recluse.
I recluse. I recluse. And Jordan has to pound down my door to get me to come out very lovingly. But, and Kate too. But it's putting other believers in a very dangerous spot when their walls go up and they no longer trust. Yeah. And there's no longer that sense of community. It's very undermining.
We're reading right now at the Christchurch Ladies Book Club this summer, or reading Christiana's Journey, which is the second Pilgrim's Progress. And the chapter that we just went over this past week is about the importance of Christian community. And they're going through the Valley of Humiliation and how it's a difficult place for the pilgrims to go through. It's like trials and just hard things in life. But because they had great heart with them, which is like the mature believer, pastor, shepherd type figure, Christian community figure in the book, because he was with them, they were able to not fall in the pit, to not be harmed by this giant, to not be overcome by different scary things that came along their path throughout the valley. And it's just a beautiful illustration of like, Christian went through this alone. And he had to fight Apollyon. It was really injured by Apollyon in this valley. But now Christiana is going through with her family and with great heart with this other believer, with Mercy. And she's able to go through unharmed. And it's far easier for her. And I think that we should all just be reminded of that. Like, even if you are going through a time that you feel like you're being gossiped about, to not draw away from the community that God's put you in, because they're there on purpose. They're a protection for you as a believer to have other mature Christians around you.
Yeah.
Proverbs 16:28 says, a dishonest man spreads strife and a whisper separates close friends. So just being mindful to not be the person that's separating yourself or other people, because God has that community. It's a part of our life and it's a protection for us.
I wrote down Matthew 12:33-37. And to kind of summarize, all flows from abundance of good and evil in our hearts, essentially. So if we're prone to a certain sin, in this case, gossip, we need to evaluate why that is. You know, if we, and I think, you know, like we've talked about discontentment, we've talked about just having, like, wanting others to kind of be put down in your own mind because you want to feel better about a certain thing, or you're insecure about something.
And that's something that you have to take care of with the Lord in your own heart. And if you're prone to gossip, you need to repent. And also you can retrain your brain to not think that way, not have that be your first like method of action when you feel, because everybody, you know, parents a little bit differently. Everybody has different ideas on a lot of things. And as long as they're biblical, you know, there's we're not all bound to the exact same like homeschool curriculum and we're going to all parent a little bit differently. And that's Christian liberty. There we go. I was like, wiggle room. So it's, unless your sister in Christ is legitimately in sin and you need to go to them, and even like then that's not a reason to go behind their back and talk bad about them. And if you are concerned, like say one of you were doing something like legitimately sinful, I would go to Ben and be like, hey, can you go with me to talk about this? Or like,
I think that's what we should talk about next is, how do you know when it is appropriate to share something?
Yes.
Because there are times that someone is in sin and that you feel like this is a problem. What do I do now?
Yeah.
So biblically, what are the steps that Christian women are to take when they see their sister or someone in their life in sin? Or doing something that, first of all, there's a difference between someone in sin and someone just making a mistake one time.
Yes.
So, if Kate says something really rude to me tomorrow, and I'm like totally offended by it, but it's out of character for her, and she doesn't normally say rude things to me, I'm going to totally never think about it again and let love cover it, and I'm going to let it water off a duck's back. I'm not going to have my feelings hurt. I'm not going to be offended. And I'm not going to care. I'm not going to ever think about it.
Yeah.
Period. Yes. And that's what you do with friendship. Absolutely. Period. Don't get your feelings hurt easily. Don't be an annoying friend. And then second, okay, so that's one thing. And then the other thing is, if Kate's regularly lying and I know that she's lying and I'm like, that's weird, she just lied about that. Yeah. And then like a couple days later, she's lying again. And I'm like, I know that that's not true, though. That's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, this is a repeated thing that every time she's with me, she's, like, majorly embellishing stories and lying to me about things, telling me things that I know that's not true. Things that I just know that's not true, that I'm like, okay, this is becoming a weird pattern. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to talk to her. So Matthew 18 tells us what to do if we found that our brother is caught in sin.
You hunt them down.
That's the message for
us. Yeah. Just hunt them down. So Matthew 18:15, go to tell your brother. Talk to him about his fault, not about him to other people. And then when that, if that doesn't work. So say you, hopefully, and most of the time, I do think that it does work.
Yes.
That you go once and you talk to him face to face, not with a crowd, but you're like sincerely talking to them, not judgmentally, but like, hey, I love you. I notice that you keep lying and I don't understand why.
Yeah.
What's going on? Mm. Like, this isn't like you. Or maybe the person in your life is a new believer and maybe they don't know that that's wrong. So maybe you come to them with scripture and you say, hey, you know, in the Ten Commandments, it tells you to not bear false witness. And what you're doing is actually a sin against God. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know it or not, but there's totally grace for you. And Christ died for that sin, just like he died for giant sins and little sins and everything in between. It doesn't matter. And you're a forgiven woman. But I think that you should pray that God would help you to stop doing that sin.
Yeah.
And I'm here to be accountable, help you keep accountable, blah, blah, blah. And so you have your conversation and hopefully God brings repentance. And that's what you're praying for, that the Holy Spirit would work as you're talking to that person. But then if that doesn't work and she just is continuing to lie all the time, then is when you bring someone with you that also has noticed this or is just willing to go with you and you talk to them again. And then if that doesn't work a third time, then you go to the elders of your church and it's brought before the church and church discipline is going to take place. So that is the route that God has prescribed. And you can't say, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That feels awkward. I'm not going to do that. Or that seems mean. We don't get to say those kind of things as believers because it's what God tells us to do. Like, I have heard people say before that church discipline sounded mean or harsh, that you can't do that because you're going to hurt their feelings or that you're just going to lose a brother then if you do that. And it's like, well, God tells us what to do for the hopes that they would repent and be restored to church fellowship. And so this is what we do. We don't get to argue with God about anything, especially things like this that we can't say, I think I know better.
Right.
And I think it's appropriate too. Like if there's, I was thinking about it, if there's ever been a friend where I've been starting to be like bothered by something and not just like, oh my gosh, they chew so loud, you know, something like that. But like, you know, something where something's not like, something is wrong. You know, I feel like our heart posture should be like thinking, what's wrong? Are they okay? You know, because usually, and we've all had instances like this, probably, where we've noticed a change in character with someone.
Yeah.
And it's like all of a sudden they're kind of lashing out a little bit, or they're like reclusive, or they're mean-spirited about something. And you can automatically identify, like, they're a sister in Christ. I know they're in Christ. Mm-hmm. Something's off. Like, something's wrong. And I feel like our heart posture shouldn't be aggressive about it.
No.
It should be, hey,
yes,
are you okay? I've noticed this. Is there something we can chat about? I would love to see this change for you because I don't want you to become bitter,
yeah,
or embroiled in sin, or, you know, have it lead to something more where it's affecting husband, kids, etc., etc. And so I'm sure we've all had those instances where we've gone to people, I know I have, and just said, you know, I've noticed this pattern and it seems kind of destructive, and I love you and I want, like, our fellowship to return to normal, and I want you to get help if you need it, or be able to talk to somebody about whatever's going through. So I feel like, you know, I think it can be easy to kind of be offended when we see something where somebody is either personally offending us, or they're offending something we care about quite a bit, and they know that we're, you know, that we care about it. It would be hard to not have that twinge of like, I want to be offended about that. Mm-hmm. But it's like you said, Jordan, it's important to tamper that and go straight to like, they're a sister in Christ. I love them. I want what is best for them in Christ. I want our fellowship to be like normal, restored in Christ. And so just tamping down that immediate like offensiveness and being undefendable, like you said.
And this is just me. This is 100% Jordan Sparks personality, probably. But I do think that it is helpful, so I'm going to share it. Whenever I notice that one of my friends is struggling or there's something going on that probably needs a conversation, I'm like very quick about having that conversation, to the point that I'm like, can I come over right now? Can I call you right now? Can we, or if it like happens while we're together, I'm like, if it's a good time, like, no, if it seems appropriate,
yeah,
I'm like, I'm going to immediately address this right this second. Because usually if you go home and think about it for 24 hours, you're either going to chicken out or make it into a way bigger situation,
yes,
than it needs to be. And most of the time it's like, we're friends. Let's quickly have this conversation. I notice that you're struggling. Mm-hmm. Let's just quickly talk about it. And that usually goes quicker. That usually, yes, goes better, in my opinion. It's far less like a huge monumental thing that we're all very emotional about and that kind of thing. It's usually just like quickly over and done with. And yes, and I think there's something to that with like bringing it to light as quick as possible. It doesn't give the enemy an opportunity to just like really wallow, yeah, around in all the feelings about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? Or in your life, have you had instances like that where you're like, this has been better if it's quick? Or you're like, no, I need time to really process. I feel like you're probably more of a processor.
You're just probably pointing to Becky.
Becky's probably going to go home and write down a few bullet points about the conversation, really pray and fast over it,
which is not a bad thing.
That is not a bad thing.
I know I'm not wrong. I know you very well. I know. I was thinking it over as you were talking. I was like, oh.
And you're like, this is not me.
And I have seen you handle situations. And there have been times where I don't think it was a sin part, but like after I lost Nathaniel last year, I reclused hardcore. Mm-hmm. And you hounded me lovingly. And you're like, hey, don't stay by yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to be around people. Mm-hmm. You do need friends. You have to talk to somebody. You have to.
Well, you know, and I knew it was an unhealthy thing. It wasn't.
It was not healthy.
Just need some time.
Yeah.
I was like, this was a not good situation.
I was not in a good mental space at all. And so I've seen you handle that with such grace, and you've handled that very, very well. And it was helpful for me. Sometimes, anyway, my tongue can be very, very quick and very sharp. And I know that I have a tendency. I can say things right off the tongue, really sharply, really quickly, not how I mean it, not how my heart actually feels.
Yeah.
And so because I grew up in a family where there were four girls, five girls, I'm one of them, but I had four sisters, one brother. And kind of the idea in the house was that our family's furniture, so you can treat them however you want because they're not going to go anywhere, which unfortunately is not actually how the story of my family has played out. And so I've seen how destructive things can be when you're not thoughtful about your approach to things. So for me personally, my approach, because growing up, I was just very quick-tongued. I said what I thought, when I thought, handled things, and or we would pendulum swing to the other side where it's just passive aggressiveness, which those are two ditches you don't want to be in. So
those are just whole other podcast topics.
Those are whole other podcast. Here we go. Now we got two more. But those are two very dangerous ditches to be in. And so for me as an adult, learning how to handle confrontation in a biblically graceful way.
Yeah. Just cheerfully, calmly.
I think regardless how you do it, whether you are I'm going to go home, pray about it, fast about it, journal about it kind of person, because I
really deeply process it.
I don't have bullet points in my prayer journal, guys. Well, actually, that's a lie.
I was going to say.
That's a lie.
I bet you.
But not like, it's like, this month I'm praying for this person and I have like a bullet point and then that person's name, bullet point, that person's name. Not like, I'm praying for these things for that. Anyway.
Yeah. And I don't even know that. I don't even have a journal. So
we're very different.
But that is, it helps me be thoughtful in my approach to that person. And sometimes there are some things, like you said, you and I are both noticers. And so sometimes I notice something, but it's not my business. Mm-hmm. And it's not my place to address it. Mm-hmm. Or it's not the right time for me to address it. Mm-hmm. And so it's smarter for me to take a beat, go home, think about it. And 98% of the time I go, that's not my fish to fry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that, you know, and there's all kinds of nuances and things you can get into there. But if it is something where it's like 98% of the time is going to be a preference thing where it's like, I wouldn't have done it that way. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean it's a sinful thing to do.
Right. So
but if you get into the other percent, right. If you get into the other part where you're like, no, this is actually a sin issue and it needs to be addressed because I love this person, I'm going to go about it in a way where I've thought about it. I've prayed about it. My struggle is to not chicken out.
Yeah.
See, that's my biggest struggle because I'll think about it and I'll have the right things to say and I'll have all that. And then see the person like, I don't have the guns.
Yeah. You can easily convince yourself it's not my problem or not my fish to fry. And the problem is there's not a lot of people who think it is their fish to fry.
That's true.
There's very few friends that are willing to be like, that's going to be my fish. I'm going to be the one that helps her catch that fish.
Right. I'm the fisherman today.
I am the fisherman today. And I think as Christian sisters, we should be willing to do the hard work sometimes, even when it's difficult. And I think it's probably a balance between the two of us of like, be thoughtful and be careful and cautious to not lose a sister because of your careless words, but be willing to get in the muck and help people get out and still being cheerful about it all the while and not letting it be a big ordeal. But like, hey, we're sisters. I'm going to try to help you with this.
Mm-hmm. Kate, where do you land?
In the past, I've definitely landed more on the address it. I wouldn't say
that's what I would have guessed.
Yeah, not always immediate, but there were some moments, or there were some times in college. There were two times that I debated some things, and then realized that I wanted to keep the friendships. They were two separate times, but I wanted to keep the friendships. But there were some pretty big like barriers that were occurring with, I felt like they both were needing help that I couldn't give necessarily as a friend. And if there's one thing that drives me nuts, it's passive aggressiveness, and I will always meet it with like aggressiveness.
If you're passively aggressive, I'm gonna be quite aggressive.
I will call it out.
Non-passive.
We will chat about it. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't fake it. It will be what it will be. And it will be awkward for you because passive aggressive people don't actually want to be confronted.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to be real difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the people are difficult, but they're choosing to be difficult. I mean, sometimes they do have a pattern of being difficult for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And in other times, people just choose passive aggressiveness because they don't know what else to do. And they don't want to handle it. And they're struggling. But in both of those cases, we had a chat that was pretty awkward. And I had prayed ahead of time. And I was very concerned about it, like going a certain direction. And I'm still really good friends with both of them today. And one of them is like one of my most treasured friendships. And it was not, I'm not like patting myself on the back saying like, oh, good for me, I salvaged a friendship. It was very much like me saying like, I love you a lot. And I want you to be okay. And I want our friendship to be okay. And she is amazing. She's such a good friend. And it was just by the grace of God. Like he used, you know, he uses different personalities. And so some people are more introverted and he's going to use them a different way than he would use me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not here saying like, oh, pat on the back, I'm more aggressive. So like,
I will, you know, there is something just like in marriage, like you go through hard times in your marriage and then you look back and you go, wow, the Lord was doing so much in that relationship.
Yes.
And Brandon and I have been through some incredibly hard things together. And at the end, we look at each other and we're like, you are my ride or die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love you so much. Like, you're my best friend. And we were best friends when we got married too, but I know him and love him so much more now because we have been through so many valleys and mountaintops and all the in between together. And it's the same way in friendship. You know, when you go through a valley and you have a friend right next to you, or when you are eyeball deep into a pit and you have a friend standing on solid ground, reaching down, pulling you out and helping you brush yourself off and keep going. There's just a beauty and a depth to that friendship that is unmet.
Unmatched,
you know, where you, it really does sharpen your friendship. And I think it is absolutely vital in the life of a Christian, man or woman, to have friends like that beside you to walk with. What friends that know you, friends that know, hey, I know that this friend is prone to this kind of behavior. Or I know that friends, or this is how she responds when she's postpartum. Or this is how, you know, this is how this friend is wired. And not using that as an excuse to sin, but as a reason to come alongside them and helping you just keep an eye on them and be like, okay, I know that this might be a really hard thing for her and I'm going to help keep her from sin and protect her from those things. And there's just a beauty to that.
And gossip actually never allows friendships to get deep like that.
No.
Because it's always hovering around the surface of entertainment, luxury of the other people and what they're doing. And it never allows you to really get deeper than that. So I think that's another consequence of allowing sin to invade friendships and communities is you don't get that. You don't get the beauty of raw reality of really who you are down deep and what God's doing in your heart.
And I will say too, I think sometimes it's really easy for people to say, I'm just sharing.
Yes.
That I'm just sharing.
That's all I'm doing.
I'm just sharing. And there is a fine line, but there's also a big difference.
Let me preface what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because one thing that I thought that it would be important for us to talk about is like, what actually is gossip? Because there might be a lot of listeners that are like, this actually doesn't pertain to me. I don't gossip. And you might actually be a gossip. So maybe we should talk about that.
I wrote down a pastor's definition. His name is Matt something. I'm so sorry if Matt's wife is listening. And probably not. It was a guy on the internet. So sorry, Matt. But I'm taking your definition. It's bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. So his definition encompassed like the action itself. So bearing bad news, the content, like bearing it behind someone's back, and then the motivation is out of a bad heart. So I like that definition because it like shows the sinful nature of human in what you're saying. So if your motivation is to get closer to other people by sharing things that aren't yours to tell, it's not like if I missed church and somebody had a baby announcement and one of you texted me and said, oh my gosh, did you see that? Or did you hear on the live stream that so-and-so is pregnant? Isn't that so exciting? Or something like that where, well, that was broadcasted at church. That's a common knowledge. Like you can share that. I wasn't at church. You know, and then we're excited for them together. And someone shared something that was good news for the good of the person. Now I know something and I can rejoice. So thinking about, And even some of the most mundane things, I think, can be shared with a bad heart.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Like, it doesn't have to be, quote-unquote, bad news.
And that can, okay, so the example you just gave, hey, did you hear that so-and-so's pregnant again? That can be not gossip.
Yes.
Or you can say, did you hear so-and-so's pregnant? She's already got her hands full. I don't know how they're going to do it. Hope she's excited about this. Baby number four. Woo! Okay.
True.
That's
different intents. I was taking it the route of like, hey, I know you missed church.
And that
isn't that exciting.
I'm just saying that like,
but so true.
That heart behind what you're saying.
Yes.
Are you saying it to be a
stinker?
There we go. That's a nicer one. A stinker? Are you saying it to be a stinker? I was going to say turd, just to clarify. I wasn't going to curse.
I'm going to say turd, just to clarify. I wrote down three questions because I was thinking about this. So three questions I would ask is this person directly involved or do they need to be?
There we go.
Is what I'm sharing, are they already directly involved? Mm-hmm. You know, am I checking in with Kate to see how her postpartum is going? Because mm-hmm. she's very directly involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's not, you know, or saying like, hey, we're planning a party for somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk with this person about the party, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, we can all think through that. We're grownups. So is that person directly involved or do they need to be? Is it you're coming to the elders because you have already gone through all these other things? Mm-hmm. You followed the biblical chain of yeah. what should be happening in a situation. You're like, I need help. Biblically, I'm coming to you for help. Mm-hmm. Or are you shopping for opinions
right.
mm-hmm. from other people? Like, well, this is happening. Should I do mm-hmm. this? Well, this is happening. Should I do this? That's a problem. What is my motivation for sharing this? Mm-hmm. Am I sharing it so that Kate can rejoice? Or am I sharing it so that we can now have a whole conversation mm-hmm. about this other person yeah. or whatever the event or anything is? And then the third one is this helpful or hurtful? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this going to help anything in the situation? Is this going to, is this a positive thing that I'm sharing? Or is this just going to hurt people? Mm-hmm. So I think those three things are helpful. And I think one thing that I've learned, again, I've alluded to, my family's had a lot of things go on in recent years. And when you go through a very painful experience, you need people to talk to about it. But you have to be very, very careful what that looks like. And you can share your experience. You can share hurtful things that have happened without slandering the other person. You can say, this event happened. This is what was said. And I'm really struggling with this mm-hmm. without going into all of the, well, this is what I think they meant by this, and this is what that look meant, and this is what this was, and this is what that was. You can really deep dive into all of the nuances of a situation and try to pick it apart, but that's not helpful. Mm-hmm. It doesn't lead anywhere helpful. But you can also talk to a counselor, talk to a friend, and say, hey, I need some counsel here. Mm-hmm. I need some prayer here. This is what was said to me. This is what was said about me publicly, or this is, mm-hmm. you know, and I need some guidance on how to walk through this well.
That's what I was
Those saying. Are two so very yeah. different situations.
And so that's a whole nother category too that I think of, like needing counsel.
Yeah.
And that is not, it's not gossip, but it's like something has happened and I need a safe person to talk to because I need prayer about this. I need to process this a little bit and I need someone to tell me what they think is the right course of action mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that for me is usually someone that I've like got permission from Jared to share right. something about, yeah. you know, because I talk to Jared. And then if I'm like, do you think it would be okay if I talk to this person? And so I think that's a really helpful thing to do before you just go and share your story with somebody. If you're married, ask your husband, hey, do you think it would be wise? Do you think that this person would give me good counsel? Do you think that this is a safe place that it won't go any further than that? Running it through somebody like yeah. that, like your husband.
I think too that husbands are a really good barometer for mm-hmm. what is and is not appropriate to mm-hmm. share, because us as women, I feel like we are much more quick to justify and say, well, but if I share with this lady or if I ask for this opinion mm-hmm. or if I say this about this person, you know, we can kind of justify that in our own mind. Whereas there have been sometimes with things with my family, I've gone to Brian, like, well, do you think I can say this or do this or, you know, and I'll be like, do you think that that's helpful? Do you think that that's a godly thing to you? Do you think that this is a wise thing to you? And he kind of like talks me through that. And it's really helpful because I don't see men as much. I'm sure there are men that struggle with gossip. But like yeah. like you said, this is more of a mm-hmm. feminine trajectory kind of a sin. Men are much, much more hardline about it is the word I think mm-hmm. is what I'm trying to say. You know, they can say, no, don't do that. Mm-hmm. That's a bad idea. Don't do mm-hmm. that. Or they can say, yeah, I trust Jordan. I trust Kate. Mm-hmm. See what they think is a wise approach from here, because I'm not quite sure what to do or something like that. But yeah, go to your husband, or if you're not married, go to your dad. If he's a godly yes. man, go to your dad mm-hmm. and say, hey, what do I do here? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a dad in your life, go to a pastor.
Yeah, so I was going to say elders are there on purpose mm-hmm. and they should be used far more than they are for things that you feel like are little, quote, right. I'm doing quote fingers, little things that you're like, this probably is not worth their time. Yes, it is. It's what God has called them to do, to be a shepherd to the people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means having a conversation with a
woman who may not have a husband yet or a father that they can talk to, that they need to process through something. And that's totally fine. And it's kind of like marriage counseling. You don't only need marriage counseling when you're about to get a divorce.
Right.
You know? Right. Use the people around you that God has placed that are godly, mature Christians to help you through processing things. Another thing is just knowing that keeping your mouth shut is a fruit of the spirit. This is self-control.
Right.
So if you are struggling in this way, praying, God, would you please grow me in self-control? But this, because that's essentially what this is you need self-control to be able to not open your mouth when it shouldn't be opened, and to be able to be quiet more, or be able to talk about more interesting things than your neighbor more.
Yeah.
So just praying that God would give you self-control to be able to do that, or inspiration to talk about other things, creativity, to talk about other things whenever you're with your friends.
And if you're in a kind of friend group that just really wallows in this and thrives on this, and you do the things that we've talked about doing, like changing the topic, calling them into a higher conversation and not wallowing in the muck of other people's lives, you can physically walk away from it. You can, if you have tried to change the conversation, if you have tried to call it out and it's not helping, just walk away.
Yeah.
It's going to be awkward. It's going to be weird. It's okay. Just walk away.
Joseph with Potiphar's wife literally just ran, left his robe and ran like, blah. And it's like, do that. Just awkwardly scream and run away.
20 says, do not associate with a gossip.
Yeah.
19, I think. And so if your friend is prone to continuous gossip and they're not being convicted of it, that is a pretty big issue if they're okay with just continuous gossip and you've known this friend for a while and they're just totally fine with it. Then that's something that there's a lot going on there. And I'm not saying to just totally throw them to the wolves and say, well, you're too far gone. I don't know. But there needs to be a deeper conversation than just like somebody speaking offhand one time and then they regret it.
Right.
If you're surrounded by a lot of gossips, and people who are gossipy don't keep friends very long. And if, like, I was in college, and so were both of you, and the friendships that never lasted long, unfortunately, I ended up rooming with two girls that partied a lot, and they ended up turning on each other halfway through the year, and it made the living situation incredibly awkward. And there were multiple times I said, you guys just have to, you're going to have to figure it out because this is super awkward. And they partied together, they did all the college-y things together, and then they turned on each other because they were gossipy about others and, you know, mean to others, and then they were eventually mean to each other. So it's like, we don't, you know, that like a one-handed one comment can seem harmless, but then your heart just continues to want more. It's like social media. Like, it's sin just entices you to do it more and more and more, and you have to shut it down. And shutting it down for other people is appropriate.
You would rather be lonely.
Yes.
And be asking the Lord for good friends.
Yes.
Than to sit in the company of people who are going to just drag you down as well, spiritually.
And it's totally worth having friends that can look in your eyes. You've been friends for, you know, years. That can look at your eyes and say, what's wrong?
Yeah.
Not to each other, like, what's wrong?
I can see it in your eyes. Your eyeballs are different today.
Yeah.
What's going on in your life?
And other people may just be like, oh, they're tired. But your real friends look at you and they're like, something's wrong. You want to talk?
Yeah.
It's what's wrong with their face?
Yeah.
I have texted both Kate and Jordan, actually, in a group message at one point. And I was like, I'm seeing you both in 5 minutes.
Don't ask me.
I'm not okay today, but I'm pretending that everything's fine. I need to feel like things are fine. Again, this was last fall after we lost a baby. And I was like, just don't ask me if I'm fine, because I will crumble.
Yeah.
If either of you look at me or even hug me or pretend to be nice. So just ignore my existence.
I know that I'm not fine. But just don't say anything about it.
We'll talk about it on Sunday, or we'll talk about it on the Zoom. But, oh, I had another thought.
Better to have friends like that, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's better to have friends like that than to have friends that are
totally surface.
Completely surface level. I remember, and I've talked about meeting Kate before, but I remember when I met Kate, I was not a believer. And the amount of joy that she had. It's like, why is this girl so happy? And our friend Megan too was like, they're both so fake.
You're like, they're just
so happy because
our style annoys me.
Nobody's as happy, you know. And nobody just genuinely enjoys hanging out with each other if, you know, we're not drinking or partying or doing a, you know, like, who's just this happy all the time, just hanging out and going sledding down a hill? You guys.
Yeah.
But find and invest in deeper friendships. If you are, if you have friendships that are more surface level, find and invest in friendships that are deeper, that are going to be there with you and you there for them through the highs and the lows and the everything in between. And invest in those kinds of friendships. And part of that investing in is calling each other out when you're like, hey, I love you, but this isn't okay.
Quit talking about them.
Just stop. Jordan, just stop.
Yeah. And this is easy. Like, if someone's gossiping, you can just easily be like, is that any of your business? With a smile.
Let's talk about what's for supper.
What are you cooking instead? You know, just learning to say things like that. It's very easy. Just be awkward.
We should rapid fire say other conversation topics you can change to other than gossip.
Go.
M&M Lion.
The answer to anyway.
Do you like his LinkedIn?
Let's talk about the fictional characters in the book.
Okay, there's that.
That's for supper. What are you cooking for supper? Did you meal plan this week?
Did you sit down and talk to your kids about Jesus and the gospel? And what are you memorizing in scripture?
Yeah.
What are you reading today?
What's family worship look like for you guys? Is it wild? Is it calm? How do you make it calmer?
Prayers do you pray before so it's calm?
Redirecting to, like, what scripture are you memorizing right now?
Yeah.
And if they're not, then
the Bible are you reading?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When are you starting homeschool? There's just a million things.
And, other than the weather.
Interest that you are interested in.
Yes.
Like, do you work out? Have you ever done this workout series that you're doing or whatever? There's just a thousand things that you can
do. What's your favorite thing to do on a rainy day?
Have you ever gone to this thrift store in Carnival?
Yeah.
Things are so cheap there. There's a thousand things.
How did you birth their children? How many?
Yeah. About
that? Oh, that's
what hospital?
Hey, I'm Jordan.
What are their donators?
I'm Jordan. Want to hear my birth story?
My answer is always yes.
It's funny how often conversations with women turn into birth story conversations. Anytime a group of women together, I'm like, I'm suddenly hearing how you had your baby.
It's like if you get a bunch of older guys together and they all served in the military, you're hearing war stories.
Yes.
It's the same thing for women.
I'm always interested.
I know.
And I'm always chiming in with things that happen to me.
Yes.
It's funny. So, you know what? There you go. There's one for your back pocket. Want to know my birth story?
There you go.
You just out of nowhere say, want to hear how many hours I was in labor?
Yeah.
Want to hear about my water breaking at home and then going to the hospital and being in the wheelchair and water just pouring out the back of it? I could go into a lot more detail than what.
Wow.
Okay, so here's a good prayer that we can end on. It's Psalm 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. So, anyways, if gossip is something that you struggle with, start praying that. Start praying that for the community that you're in if this is something that you guys struggle with. So, anyways, thank you for listening. Anything else you guys want to add before I push stop?
I mean, I had verse 4 to that too, but
go ahead.
Read the second part. Verse 4 says, do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds, to come in company with men who work iniquity, and let me not eat of their delicacies.
Amen. Good. That's good. All right.